My parents raised me in the church. And then, you know, then I was a kid. But when I was 12, Billy Graham actually came to Bishop. And I was like, ah, no way. And went up. And that changed my life. And so today, and that's a long story, but I really experienced betrayal there and left the church at 13. And I didn't return again until I was a mom and a teacher, maybe somewhere in my 40s. But looking back, the Lord has always been with me and always been calling me back. And I want to tell you a little bit of that, about that. So to start this speech, I would love for you to listen to this amazing song called Belovedness. If we can get it. Because it's telling you, this is God speaking to your heart about how he sees you.
Your fear and all your self-loathing, you've owned the voices inside of your head, you've owned the shame and reproach of your failure. It's time to own your belovedness. You've owned your past and how it's defined you. You've owned everything everybody else says. It's time to hear what your Father has spoken. It's time to own your belovedness. He says you're mine. I smiled when I made you. I find you beautiful in every way. My love for you is fierce and unending. I'll come to find you, whatever it takes, my beloved. You've owned the mess you see in the mirror. You've owned the lies that you're just not enough. You've been so blinded by all your comparing. It's time to own your beloved. I find you beautiful in every way. My love for you is fierce and unending. I'll come to find you, whatever it takes, my beloved. Find you, whatever it takes, my beloved.
So I hope that during this time, you can feel the Holy Spirit and how deeply He loves you, how precious you are in His eyes, how much He wants to be with you and He wants to meet you. He actually longs to be with you. It's like... So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 22. This is the story of the wedding feast, the parable of the wedding feast or the banquet. So when God called me back to the church, He did it with this parable. I was, well, He did it in lots of ways, but my colleague said, "Hey, the pastor just talked about the wedding feast parable, and I thought of you." And it was like this arrow of light that hit my heart, and I was like, I just can't fight it anymore. I need to come back to the church. This passage is in context. This is after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem at Palm Sunday. And then, remember, had some teaching, but before the Passion Week. He was being questioned by the chief priests and the elders. So let's read it. Matthew 1. Jesus also told them other parables. He said, "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come." In a parallel story from Luke, it says, "But they all began to make excuses. One said, 'I just bought a field and I must go and inspect it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I must try them out. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.'" Now, these were considered to be good excuses in the day. In fact, the one about being married was especially important because newlyweds were expected to stay home for a year. Even if you were a soldier, you needed to stay home for that year so that they would get pregnant. And this was something that you could say, but it was a huge insult to the king. Verse 21. "So he sent other servants to tell them, 'Hey, the feast has been prepared. The bulls and the fattened cattle have been killed, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet.'" I wonder if you've ever been invited somewhere that you really didn't want to go to, or maybe you were afraid that you might miss out on something better, and so you didn't really want to commit to going. And maybe they just didn't like this king, or they didn't know him very well. I'm really not sure. Apparently, after COVID, when all of us were away from people, we're hesitant to come back to be with people and not expose ourselves. But let me ask you, if this is a parable about the invitation to the kingdom of heaven from Father God who made you, and He's inviting you to fellowship with Him, what is it that is keeping us from accepting the invitation with that God? I know for myself, I try to set aside time in the morning to talk with God, and I have almost always a million excuses. Oh, I have to get that done. This article looks good. Oh, I'd rather look at the news. And I even hesitate to serve here at church or serve in other places, thinking that those commitments might keep me from something else. So I want us to pray just for a second to confess. Father God, thank you that you want us. You want communion with us. And you make it definitely clear that we are your beloved. And yet I shy away from you. I make excuses. I'd like to ask you to forgive me and keep inviting me, Lord, because I want to be with you. I want to know you better. Amen. Verse 5. Now, this part of the text I had a really hard time with and had to study a bunch, but you'll see. Verse 5. But the guests that he had invited ignored him and went their own way, one to his farm and another to his business. And others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their cities. Whoa, that's a pretty harsh God. That's a pretty vindictive response. I have trouble with an angry God representing, or the angry king representing the God who appears to take vengeance. But after praying quite a bit, I want us to notice that this God that we serve is a just God. And this is an evil thing to kill his messengers. And we know that there are martyrs in the world who are killed. I also think that Jesus was signaling that the invitation that he was making to come with to fellowship with him, to the gospel, is a serious thing. A decision where we're going to spend our eternity. And refusal to come and to choose evil will put you on the opposite side of life eternal. Verse 8. And he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, and the guests that I invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see." So the servants brought in everyone they could find, the good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with the guests. I think that this teaching would have landed on the Pharisees to whom he was speaking as scandalous. They believed that only they were worthy. I mean, they'd done everything right, don't you know? And now you're inviting everybody, the good and the bad. And I also believe that God was saying that the guests he invited aren't worthy of the honor. I believe that he was saying that it was an insult, like, hey, it's not. I invite whom I need to invite. I invite all who are listening. So if you don't come, maybe you're not worthy. Jesus is describing the gospel invitation for us to come to a banquet. Ooh, a place full of plenty of food, joyful celebration, family, as you just saw. The king is Father God who calls everyone, and no one is included. But then, in verse 11, it says, "But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing proper clothes for a wedding. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how is it that you are here without the proper clothes for a wedding?' But the man had no reply. And then the king said to his aides, 'Bind his hands and feet and throw him into the utter darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" In the Passion Translation, it says, "For everyone is invited to enter in, but few respond in excellence." The commentaries that I read in studying this passage says that the king or the Lord who invited them would have given clean, probably linen, a symbol of the priestly cloths, to all the guests who came. This is a picture of the garment of righteousness that grace is provided for us when we accept the invitation to come. We are called to put on God's righteousness. And if we will, the new garments, the new man, the new life that God gives us, he will make us pure and continue to make us better and continue to make us close to him. Thank you, Lord. But we need to be really careful about saying, "Oh, I'll do it later. I'll commit later." I put off God's invitation for maybe 20 years. I was offended and I believed the enemy's lies that God was going to keep me from something if I went back to the church. That's the serpent's lie, is it not? The one he said to Eve, isn't God keeping you something from something? Friends, don't fall for that lie. I want to encourage you to come to the banquet and come every day and every Sunday. The truth is that the relationship that Father God gives us is life, and life abundantly, even far greater than we can imagine. And in Him, as we accept Father God's invitation to the feast, we will become His, belonging to God. The scripture in Matthew 10:32 says that everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him. Please say yes to the invitation of God's grace. Don't let your guard down. Like, come on in. Let me invite you again to the Lord's feast. Remember, the Lord's feast also brings like the idea of coming to the table, as Mike talked about last week, about the commitment that we have when we come to the communion table. And Jesus said at the communion table, remember me, remember my invitation, remember what I have for you, life and life eternal. So I'd like to take a minute and have you think about your first invitation to God's kingdom, or maybe even just the nudging that you had to come today. I bet that there was a call from the unseen, from Holy Spirit himself. Maybe it was remembering his presence. God calls us to join him in fellowship, and he calls us all, the proud ones and the greedy ones, the broken and the needy. He says, come, all you liars, all you shamed, come you wealthy and poor, come rulers and slaves, come all sinners and all saints. It's awesome. So let's close this way. Will you meditate with me on his invitation and his right now invitation and his where he's calling you to commit to the church and to commit to, as Don says, being more bold to tell people about Jesus. let's just meditate on that while Wes plays this amazing song by Common Hymnal.
Come all proud, come all greedy, come all liars, come all shame, come all wealthy, come receive it to the table, come today. Come all broken, come all needy, come all poor, come all slaves, come all rulers, come be seated, come all sinners, come all saints, come to the table from the red fire, come from the shadows, come out of the dark, there's room at the table. Saved you a seat. Come to the banquet. Come join in the feast. Every race, every nation, come all rebels, come all gay. from the fringes come to Jesus, to a table full of grace. To the table come and say, come to the table, come eat and drink. There's no inner circle, come die with the King. Recline at the table, come let down your guard. You're never a stranger, just come as you are.
Pray now for a recommitment, a joyful celebration, a new yes in our hearts for the kingdom of God. We ask Jesus to show us for ways to come closer to you, Lord, and to accept your love even more. And when we accept the invitation of God to come, we will wear the robes of purity that he gives us. And then we will shine with God's glory and become his pure bride as a church to Jesus, his bride and our groom. I would like to read this benediction to you. I was listening to Brian Simmons, who's the translator for the Passion Translation, and he just is working on Deuteronomy, where this blessing that you know, may the Lord bless you, is, and he has just a little bit of difference in it. So may the Lord bless you and care for you, shepherd you. May his face light up every time he thinks of you, and may he be gracious, generously gracious to you, and wrap his shalom peace around your heart. If any of you would like prayer, we'll have some prayer people up here. Thank you so much for letting me speak.
All right. Thanks for coming. Let's have a good week. Let's possess the land, okay? Let's get out there and let Jesus steal somebody's heart. You know, bless you all. Bless your families, Lord. We just pray that every family, every child, that your angels are around us. Lord says you put your angels charge over us, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And every word that rises up against us in judgment, we put it beneath our feet in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray, Father God, that every business, every worker in this place, Lord, would be blessed beyond their comprehension. Lord, that every step they take, they will possess the land. Remember, it says, be of good courage, be not afraid, and you will find success in the land. Meditate on these words day and night. Let's get on with it in Jesus' name. Amen.